Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato at Chesapeake Energy Arena, where the Thunder has just beaten the Mavericks 106-101 to ring in the new year.
Happy New Year, everyone. That was a wild and fun and crazy way to end 2019.
New decade. 2020.
New decade.
2020 vision.
Okay. Every time I'm going off script immediately. I don't mean to do this, but every time we say, "Oh, that was one of the Thunder's most impressive wins," like this is another candidate for that. The way this one finished tonight.
Yeah, 100%. Good team against an MVP candidate, top five for sure.
Yeah,
top three.
Probably, yeah, top five for sure.
Yeah, you could make a definite argument for top three. Granted, we'll get to injuries and stuff later. He didn't have his running mate, Kristaps Porzingis, on the court. But Luka Doncic, the Thunder did, this is going to sound ridiculous, but for three quarters, the Thunder did a really good job defending him. And honestly, even in the first quarter, if he took away the fouls, did a solid job defending him. And he still scored 35 points. 12 of 29 from the field. But, I mean, Billy Donovan kind of projected this pregame where someone asked, we're actually just talking about Hamidou Diallo and him potentially defending Luka and how well he did in the preseason and if he was going to, if they're going to try to ease him in or just throw him straight on Luka. And he was like, we kind of have to put him on Luka because, well, then he started talking about playing him, this, that, and the other, but he eventually landed on, like, no one's really stopping this guy.
Yeah.
He's still scoring 30 points a night. Like, all you can do, even if you're doing a good job, he's going to have makes. You basically can just hope to slow him down. And after the first quarter, in which he scored 17 points and was a millisecond away from scoring 19, the Thunder were able to disrupt him a little bit.
He's almost like, I mean, he's not at this level yet, but he's close, but he's almost like James Harden in that way. Even when he's not efficient, you know he's going to score 30, and that's exactly what he did tonight. 35. After that first quarter, I thought, there is no way they can guard this guy. They're throwing Terrence Ferguson at him, picks up two fouls in the first minute and 6 seconds. Then
in the first two possessions.
Yeah, first two possessions.
That is how the game started.
Your defensive stopper has two fouls a minute in. And then, you know, Hamidou Diallo, like you said, gets his turn. Deontay Burton gets his turn. And he's just
drawing fouls, mowing
down all these guys. Oh, you sub out. Go back. You've got your two fouls. And then that kind of went away. Like, Luka still got his, but the Thunder kept throwing guys at him. And by the fourth quarter,
went back to the same guys, kind of circled back through.
Yeah.
Got some Dennis Schroeder on there for a little bit.
I thought they just wore him down by the end. And that's when the one guy that was not supposed to be on him, Danilo Gallinari, known defensive stopper, gets switched on to Luka Doncic.
Oh, my gosh. In that moment, you're trying to put yourself in Luka's shoes, and he had to be just licking his chops. Like, if anyone on the court, because they had the three-guard lineup out there. So the only guy who you really want on you at that point is Danilo Gallinari, and he's got him right there. And then the improbable happens. Danilo Gallinari reaches around, pokes the ball out for a steal with 24 seconds left, and we've got it up right now.
We're watching it. He just pokes it away.
Yeah,
And then gets the ball back,
and then Dennis Schroeder takes off and gets fouled, and then makes his shots, and suddenly the Thunder's up 104-101.
Yeah, and there was a point in the first quarter when Chris Paul was checking in at the scorer's table. I forgot who was guarding Luka, but he was like, make him go right. He's going to go right. And then after the game, Danilo Gallinari said, you know, he went right, but he knows he was going to go back to his left. Like, they knew Luka wanted to go left, And he said when he did that, you know, that's when he's able to poke the ball away. And if you're not a great defensive player, it helps to know the scouting report, and he clearly knew that.
Shouts out to whoever did the scout.
Yeah.
Killing it. But, yeah, that was a huge – that was one of the biggest defensive plays of the night, coming from a guy who's really out there for his offense. Apparently, though, his dad was a fantastic defensive player, so taking some cues
off. Hey, you wrote about that.
Hey. Weird.
I remember reading that in the Oklahoman.
Hey, go check that out. Go look back at the past year's stories and see that one.
And it wasn't just – I mean, we mentioned all those guys they threw at him in the first half, threw at Luka. But before the Gallinari steal, Dennis Schroeder, who I did not expect to be guarding Luka in the final minute, he did such a good job. He forced Luka into a contested three that was right before this possession we just outlined. And he wanted to guard Luka. And like Chris Paul always calls Dennis Schroeder a pest, and he did a really good defensive job. And that was probably like number 6 or 7 of guys who guarded him tonight. It was really a team effort.
Yeah, Dennis has taken a huge leap from last year to this year on defensively. And I've asked Billy Donovan about this before. I'm really, all he can come up with is he's a super competitive guy. And so I wonder if it's just that because the Thunder doesn't have like Paul George and Jeremy Grant, that Dennis is having to take more of a defensive load in high pressure situations, and he's just more locked in because he knows how important it is, and he's done fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that three guard lineup closed the game. Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Dennis Schroeder. And Chris was asked after the game, like, what makes you guys so good defensively? And he said they've all got their strengths. Like, obviously, Chris, former all-defense guy, little slower now, but he's smarter than everyone on the court. You've got Shai's length. You've got Dennis's speed. And even though they're undersized by quite a bit, it plays pretty well. I mean, they're not only really good offensive players, but they're good defensive players. And it really worked out in that final minute for them.
Yeah, and they're able to make up for what they lack in size by being quick out on the perimeter and then having good help defense. And so you have, I mean, Billy Donovan talked about this post game too. He was saying essentially like the size really mostly comes into play when you're getting close to the basket. Like, yes, he has a little more length to shoot over you, but like you can still get him out of his rhythm when you're not right under the basket. And that's what Dennis was able to do in the final or few minutes.
Yeah.
And down the stretch,
the one thing they couldn't game plan for is, you know, Luka's last attempt when he gets the ball. There's about 5 seconds left. The Mavs are down 3, and it's a really good look.
And Kleber had a good look right before
that's
that,
right.
too.
Yeah. They missed two.
Which, side note, really terrible defensive rebounding through big chunks of this game. The Thunder,
both teams.
Yeah.
18 and 17 offensive rebounds for the two
really,
teams.
Really, really bad. But the Thunder, it kept seeming to happen in like pivotal situations and like 3 of them in one possession. But yeah, Kleber misses it. They grab the rebound. And then you had Luka getting a 3, and at that point it's like, oh no, like this could be it, this could tie the game. Billy Donovan said after the game, like, we could still be playing right now, they just didn't make them. And you know, to give Danilo Gallinari another shout out, he was the one contesting that.
Yeah,
last
I mean,
three.
There was he scrambled to get out on Luka. He was a little late getting there, but he was the closest guy around him. It was a great look, but it just goes back to, Even when they were defending him well, when they weren't defending him well, Luka just could not buy a 3-pointer tonight. He was 3 of 16 from 3. The Mavericks took 51 threes. 51. They took 93 field goal attempts. They took more threes than twos in this game and made 15 of them. So, like, they just, like you said, it goes back to the offensive rebounds. Like, Seth Curry in the first half, It seemed like he missed 15 threes off of offensive rebounds that the Mavericks got, and
he was not very Curry-like tonight.
He was not. Like, the Thunder played good defense, but they got a little lucky in how many missed open shots the Mavericks missed off of offensive rebounds.
Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, those offensive rebounds would hurt them a lot more. Yeah.
They could have had a ton of second chance points.
That can be a New Year's resolution for both teams.
I think the Thunder are very happy about it's not the new year yet, but the closing day of 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've talked a ton about, about defense. Shift a little to the offensive end late in that game. If you look at the third quarter box score, the first thing you'd think was, what happened to Chris Paul?
Yeah.
He had 4 points?
4 points going into the fourth, yep.
And then, in classic Chris Paul fashion, went off for 13.
Yep. I mean, he was, Gallinari said in the locker room after the game, like, that's what he does. And we've seen that before, like, usually he's better in the first three quarters, but we've seen him not necessarily struggle, but just, like, not assert himself in the first few quarters. But then in that fourth quarter, he is just lethal. He gets to that spot in the paint where he loves to have that mid-range jumper. He hit a big three. He played good defense. He carried the Thunder offensively in the fourth quarter when he didn't do much offensively in the first three quarters.
Yeah, let's look at who else scored. So Chris Paul, 13 points, and this is in the fourth quarter. Hamidou Diallo, 2 points. Dennis Schroeder, 4 points. Abdul Nader, 2 points. That's it. Oh, wait. Did I miss? Oh, sorry. Also, Steven Adams, 5, and Shea for 3. But you had Chris Paul.
His is an outlier number for sure.
Scoring twice as many points as, more than twice as many points as anyone else.
13 of the 29. In the fourth, he was good. I mean, I don't know.
He loves clutch time. We should do a story on that. Look at his clutch time numbers this season and compare them to.
They've got to be good, and there's been a ton of chances because the Thunder are playing more clutch time games than anyone in the NBA.
It's insane. It's so stressful, but also so much fun.
It's a lot of fun. I mean. But every game is like this. And another come from behind. The Thunder, like, I lost track of this as they were coming from behind. But Luka hit a three that put them ahead 99-92, 2:57 left. The Mavericks scored 2 points in the next 3 minutes. They were outscored 14-2 down the stretch.
Relying on that defense. Killing it. The Thunder got some reinforcements back tonight too. We've already mentioned some of these guys' names, but Danilo Gallinari had been out for 4 games, stretching to right before that Christmas break with left ankle soreness. Hamidou Diallo had been out with that hyperextended right elbow for 5 weeks. Does not feel like it has been that long. Those 5 weeks have soared by. Soared.
That's what I say.
It's a new word.
They did soar by.
And
Schroeder missed one game.
And Dennis Schroeder missed the second game of that 2-game road trip. He did not play in Toronto with right ankle soreness. He had been questionable before the Charlotte game. Ended up playing 35 minutes, took one day off, came out tonight, and played normal minutes again.
They very much needed. I mean, we've talked about Gallinari and his defensive play at the end, the steal. He also had 20 points, and he was really rusty to start, and then he had 13 in the third quarter, so kind of what Paul did in the fourth quarter. He was really good then.
Just taking turns.
Yeah, so they needed his offense, and never thought I'd say this, but his defense. And obviously it's Schroeder only missed one game, but he was back to being Dennis Schroeder. And then I think the most encouraging one, though, was Hamidou Diallo.
He did not look rusty.
No.
At all. He jumped in there, immediately was guarding Luka, and even though he fouled, did a really good job just staying in front of him, forcing him to pass. Yeah. I mean, it helps. I think that was an upper body injury, so he was able to kind of keep up his conditioning, even, I guess, since after he got out of the sling, because it's hard to run with a sling on. But after that, was really able to keep up with the conditioning, keep his feet quick, and he even shot a three tonight, which was the last, you know, as the shooting, whatchamacallit, not plan, it'll come to me, progresses when you're getting back from an arm injury, you stretch it out progressively, and so it was short, but it wasn't bad. He didn't airball it.
Yeah, but progress, baby steps. And you know, he played 19 minutes. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the wing rotation goes now that he's back. We saw Abdul Nader play 8 minutes tonight. Deontay Burton played 2. Lou Dort was not with the team. And like Hamidou Diallo, in a way, is like a better Lou Dort right now. I mean, Lou Dort's a rookie. He hasn't played much. They're both defense-first guys, both really strong.
Which is not
can get to
something
the rim.
You would have said about Hami last year. It's kind of incredible how much he's turned that side of his game around. Program was the word I was looking
and both
for.
And both need to progress from three-point range.
Yeah.
The Thunder are winning, by the way, without shooting well from three. They did not shoot well. They were 16% in Charlotte, 30% Toronto, 22% tonight,
there
and they won
some
all three of them.
Really bad misses on that road trip too.
Yeah, and it was just as bad tonight. So the Thunder are like, I looked this up before the game, second to last in the NBA in made threes. So it really goes back to the defense, which Hamidou Diallo provided to bring it back.
Yeah, good full circle. And was something that Rick Carlisle mentioned before the game. He said this has been a really good defensive team, and they've maintained that, which when you think about who they lost, pretty incredible.
Rick Carlisle mentioned Hamidou Diallo unprompted.
Yeah.
I was very surprised by that. Like, he's got a reputation already of like being a good defensive player.
Well, he also saw the defense that he did on Luka in the preseason, which I think helps, but yeah.
That's probably it.
But, yeah, I mean,
that was before my time.
I also forgot that they played twice. I was like, oh, yeah, and then they didn't have they had people out. They were really shorthanded. And I completely forgot about the second time.
You wrote a story, though, on Hami's defense on Luka, right, in the preseason? Wasn't
yeah.
That? I think that was your story after that game.
100%.
And you still forgot.
I still forgot.
Long
that
season.
That was a whole nother time. You know, preseason means nothing.
That is true.
Oh my gosh. Let's wrap it up with a few fun facts.
We have some about nuggets.
About the decade.
Should I start?
Yeah, you start.
Okay. So some of your 2010s decade stats. The Thunder has the seventh best record in U.S. major sports over the last decade, behind the Patriots, Spurs, Capitals, Packers, Steelers, Penguins, and Thunder. And Penguins. The Thunder are
behind the Thunder.
The Thunder are seventh behind those six teams. So you've got a couple NHL teams.
This is all shouts out to the Thunder PR staff.
Thunder PR staff
for
this all together.
Up.
There's only two NBA teams on that list, Spurs and the Thunder. So in the last decade, they're second behind the Spurs in the NBA.
Pretty good decade.
Pretty good.
Also helps that. Wait, I'm trying to think.
Had some players that, come through here.
Well, and that they got to cut off that first year.
That would have skewed the stats for sure.
Okay, so same decade. Most All-NBA selections. Oklahoma City with 16. Did I say All-NBA selections? Not just NBA selections.
I choose you.
You get to be in the NBA. Most All-NBA selections. Oklahoma City is in first with 16. After that, Golden State with 14. Clippers with 12. Again, the Spurs with 11. And the Lakers with 9.
And first team All-NBA selections. The Thunder are number one with 8, which you've got Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, obviously, accounting for those. And then Cleveland, Houston, Miami, and many at 4. So, I mean, really impressive. Like, I think that first one is really puts how good they've been in context when you're on a list with, like, the Patriots and the Spurs, and you're not even talking NBA. You're talking all professional sports, and they've got one of the best, the seventh best winning percentage in U.S. pro sports.
We think about how dominant the Patriots have been. So they have they're 7...
Yeah.
77
Yeah, 77.6 winning percentage.
Percent.
And Thunder at 63.9%.
The maths are... I'm really struggling with the maths right now.
Just got to move the decimal. I'm bad at math too, but we're both staring at our phones like, okay, what are these numbers? Yeah, Thunder won 63.9% of their games. Patriots
77, which is insane.
That's crazy. 77%
is insane, but like, I mean, 63 to 77 is a big jump, but like, those are all both well above 500. That's what threw me. I was trying to say 5. They have a 7-7. That works. I stick by it.
It's also different when you're comparing like 82. Well, count the playoffs, like 100 games or whatever, to 20 if you make the Super Bowl, 19, something like that. So that's another thing you've got to consider. But still, very, very, probably more so impressive considering how long the season is.
I assume this was just regular season, though I'm not 100% sure. But yeah,
just make it whatever you want. Anyway, they're seventh in some ranking.
Good job, guys. Anyways, impressive decade from the Thunder. Obviously, this is a completely new era for them. We've really closed the door on both the decade and the Russell Westbrook era, but
nice symmetry.
But they're still winning
18 and 15,
and especially recently, so that's a pleasant surprise from what we thought we were going to be hovering in the when we were looking at this coming season just a few months ago.
Yeah.
All right.
Time to put a bow on this podcast and this decade.
That was good. Thanks so much for tuning in for this last podcast of the decade. I guess you'll probably be listening to it.
See you next decade.
In 2020. So, happy new year. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, share it with your friends, your enemies, your neighbors, your family, your pets. And we will see you on
Thursday
after the Spurs game. Nailed it. Ending the decade strong. All right. Happy New Year.